Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
John Canzano. Raw. Sourced. Fresh. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, built by high-caliber millwrights, this is The Bald-Faced Truth.
It's been an interesting show. Mario Cristobal, Oregon Ducks football coach, was on this program. Program, show, radio broadcast, podcast, however you consume it. He was here. We talked about recruiting bigger players. We talked about good handshakes, why they're important. Mike Leach, Washington State football coach, liked his perspective on handshakes. He was on the program as well. He said, while he doesn't fully judge you on it, it's in your file. I like that. I'm going to use that. When I shake your hand, it's not my entire judgment of you, but it goes in your file. David Lucas stopped by. You just heard him. The Maurice Lucas Foundation doing good things. Dave Bartu, the College Football Matrix, coming up right now. And we will also have the 2 at 2 coming up. And that is the two most important things in sports. I posted online today about Major League Baseball to Portland. I feel like there's a lot of little bits of string that are involved in this MLB to Portland thing that don't really amount to a story by themselves, but I think the individual strands of string are all interesting. For example, the Major League Baseball to Portland people, the Portland Diamond Project, they have spent this week in Kansas City. It was their fourth visit to Kansas City in the last year. They're visiting the firm Populous, which does stadium design. They built SunTrust Park in Atlanta, designed Target Field in Minnesota. They did the renovation at Wrigley Field. They are working with a local architecture firm called TVA Architects in Portland on the stadium design for the Portland ballpark. So I have some information on that that I have tweeted out and I put on Oregon Live. Also, I want to talk more about this later, but do you feel like the Portland Diamond Project should have to share where their money's coming from? If they're not asking for public dollars, do they have to tell you who the investors are? That's an interesting dilemma that I think has split the public. We'll talk about that coming up in a few minutes. But first, I want to go to a friend of the show, the College Football Matrix, Dave Bartu. He is not only a brilliant guy when it comes to numbers and analytics, he's also very funny, and he's got good energy, so I like having him on. Dave, welcome.
Dude, how you doing, man? Is it smoky downtown? It is out here in the Grove.
Yeah, it is smoky downtown. And there's a haze. They're canceling sports practices or telling them they have to go indoors. Are you staying indoors or are you outside?
Oh, no, I'm sitting on the bed of my pickup truck right now on at the farm lab, so it's all good.
When you shake somebody's hand, by the way, in a business transaction, do you judge them?
Ooh, do I judge them? Yeah, I do. I'll judge them. And I think probably the only thing I judge is the cold, clammy, limp hand that doesn't care and somebody's looking away.
Yeah.
You know? I think part of it is somebody even looking at you when they shake your hand?
Yes.
They're looking you in the eye.
That's such an important thing.
Remember, yeah. Well, I remember one thing. I remember one time. You've heard Clay Travis, right?
Yeah.
Big college football guy, you know. Met him one time. And simultaneously the softest handshake, look away, looking at somebody else I've ever had in my life. So did I judge him at that point? Yeah, I did. So I got to come clean that, yeah, I do judge people based on that. It's not 100% give them the benefit of the doubt.
It goes in their file, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It does. Back of your mind, you know, they don't care, which is fine. You move on.
Dave Bartu with us, the College Football Matrix. I had Mario Cristobal on earlier. We talked about recruiting. He said he learned from Nick Saban at Alabama that there's a reason that there are weight classes in boxing. Big guys annihilate little guys. Go get me big guys. What are you seeing? Are you tracking anything when it comes to size of players? Or what do you see coaching staffs doing in recruiting when they're looking at, you know, length of players and height of players? Are they looking at all the metrics?
Some of them are. You know, there's two things that I really believe in football when it comes down to this topic is you can't coach height. You can't coach speed. Okay. So when I'm looking at classes and I see somebody that got the, you know, the 6'1", 305 pound offensive lineman, 4-star, not impressed, you know, because that guy, he's already passed his ceiling. There's no development there. What you see is what you get. And the reason I really started looking at this is I started looking at two programs that absolutely excel at player development, Utah and Wisconsin. Those are the two best players in the game in terms of developing players with low recruiting rankings. And if you look, the players they develop, a lot of their draft picks are offensive and defensive linemen. And you start looking at those guys, and the common denominator is height. 6'4", 6'5", 6'6". The frame, the size, the body over 2 to 3 years to put on serious NFL size weight. So when I look at, like, Oregon's recruiting, and it's a bunch of big, tall dudes, I don't really worry about their weight right now. In fact, too big kind of scares me because you're going to spend more time trying to get some of the baby fat down and weight, you know, than muscle on than the other way around. But you start seeing 6'5", 6'6", 6'7". If you're a Duck fan, I think you got to really be excited about that because football is a contact sport. It's a big boy game. And to me, the bigger and the faster the guys you have, the better. And the best way to start with that is big guys to begin with.
Dave Bartu, the College Football Matrix. So if you're Oregon State and you know you're not going to recruit, you're not going to beat Alabama and Oregon and everybody else in the Pac-12 for the guy who's already 6'6", 300 or 6'6", 275 in high school, you can see that upside. Do you go out and take the guy who's 6'7" and, you know, 210? And go, hey, we'll work with that guy, or 6'6", 210. Do you start recruiting guys who are playing basketball?
Well, I think that's what you start looking for. You know, I mean, when it comes right down to it, you start finding those guys. Let's say they're not 210, but, you know, the 6'6", 240.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, the linebacker that's 6'2 and maybe a 190. And just maybe part of it, too, is they just haven't reached their developmental stage. You know, everybody, you know, guys and girls all develop differently, and some guys just don't have the weight at a younger age. So, you know, I think one of the, like, a great example of it, and I know this is an outlier, all pro, but you look at, like, a guy like Brian Urlacher, who is, what, 6'3", 6'4", and not even 200 pounds out of high school. And, you know, you get him in there, you get him in the weight room, and I think for Oregon State, I think one of the most important things is having the nutrition, the strength and conditioning program, and the long-term vision that you're not going to get all the 3 and 4 stars, but you're going to go after the size that you can develop. So down the road, physically, you're competing with juniors and seniors that are, you know, on par with some of the big boy recruiters.
Yeah, because you can't beat them head-to-head. You have to have an angle. Dave Bartu is with us, College Football Matrix. Are there some programs that you see that are just stuck in old world scouting that you go, hey, they, or has everybody gone analytics? Has everybody gone to measurables?
No, I mean, it's really all over the board. A lot of it just depends on the head coach and their philosophy. Because a lot of head coaches say, hey, I'm making, you know, $3-5 million a year based on what I've done over the last 20 years of my life. I'm not changing it. I'm not evaluating guys differently. You know, I'm looking at film, and I evaluate guys that way. I don't look at the numbers. But then there are some coaches that look at, in my opinion, too much of the numbers. And, you know, when I talk to head coaches, I think it surprises a lot of them when, coming from a numbers guy, I say, I'm here for incremental edges. I personally don't believe college football will or can ever be run by numbers. Not like baseball, where it's a bunch of one-on-one situations. The defense gets to set itself. The defense gets to snap the ball, which is the pitch, and everything is measurable. The velocity, the one-on-one relationship. In football, you have every different scheme and scenario possible and 22 guys moving at once. So I think football, in terms of just pure coaching, I think that's your best sport for pure coaching, where numbers matter the least. And to me, when I'm working on numbers, whether it's with athletic directors or with head coaches, it's trying to come up with that incremental edge where if I feel we've done something that makes the difference in one win per year, I think we've had a major impact. So I think on the flip side, to answer the backside of the question, I think there's coaches that are too much into the numbers and think way too much and rely too much on them to be effective coaches as well.
I noticed, you know, and you're a great follow on Twitter, by the way. Follow College Football Matrix on Twitter. The returning production percentage stat that you have been using for years, I'm starting to see it pop up in other places.
There's a lot of things that you see popping up in other places that, especially on the recruiting side, virtually every recruiting narrative. I mean, look how important recruiting is now in the narrative of evaluating teams and national championship contenders. You know, that started 10 years ago when I started goofing around with spreadsheets, basically in mom's basement. So, you know, the returning production percentage, returning starter percentage, again, a lot of people get caught up in these things because sometimes they fail to realize is, hey, we have 22 starters coming back. You know, what if they all sucked last year?
Yeah.
And what if your coaches aren't any good? And what if your strength and conditioning isn't good? So as nice as a lot of those numbers are, especially the returning numbers, unless you have the coaches, the program, and the consistency to go with it, they're largely meaningless.
When you talk about the effect of a coaching staff and you talk about recruiting, can you get a spread that you would feel comfortable with predicting, you know, on Oregon State, Oregon, the rest of the Pac-12, and going, all right, look, here's the upside, here's the downside. I feel confident that they'll be in this swing. Because yesterday a firefighter came up to me and he said, what's Oregon State going to do? And I said, I got them at 3-9, and that's if, you know, they're 2-1 after the first three games.
Exactly. And I think you're being nice there because you're talking about a program that has the 17th, in my numbers, the 17th toughest schedule in the country. And their ease of schedule, which is basically the amount of resistance they have, is 106th in the country. So out of everybody in the country, all FBS programs, you are talking about a huge uphill battle for Oregon State. So, you know, being 3-9, I think you're being pretty nice there, which Pac-12 game they're going to win, I'm not sure, because this is probably the most unfriendly schedule I've seen for Oregon State, like, ever. I mean, the most winnable games are all on the road. The brutal ones are all at home. You get Ohio State to begin with. You get, what, four of the top five recruiters in the conference to finish out the entire season. It's like the opposite of Oregon's schedule, which is their easiest schedule they've ever had this century.
All right, settle debate for us, because we kicked this around and all week long. We've been going back and forth on this. Oregon playing the schedule that they're playing, you know, if they ran the table in the Pac-12 and they got a soft non-conference, they're probably in the playoff. If, like, a future schedule where they add Michigan State or they play Auburn or Ohio State, yeah, that's great for fans, but are they being unwise? Is it wise to schedule tough in the non-conference in this era of four teams?
Well, I challenge you and anybody listening right now to text or tweet at me a non-conference schedule, an entire non-conference schedule that actually mattered in the playoff race, okay? An easy one to point to would be Oklahoma, Ohio State. You know, those two played each other back-to-back, and the winner ended up in the playoffs. But realistically, when it comes right down to it, like you said, Oregon has an extraordinarily soft schedule. Who cares? Really, who cares? Because if they go 12-0 or 11-1 and then go down and beat UCLA or USC in the Pac-12 title game, they're in the playoffs. You know, that's really the way it works. And really, wouldn't you rather take a chance with trying to run the table than lose football games and leave it up to the committee a little bit more? So As much as people are kind of downplaying schedules, the bottom line is winning games gets you noticed. It builds your brand. It's important all the way around. And so, you know, for Oregon, yeah, I mean, it's a cupcake in the non-conference. But if they win out, I think you can point to that as them staying healthy and getting a great start to begin the season.
So why play anybody?
I don't know. You got me. I mean, you up your chances of injury. You up your chances of a loss. All of these things, in the end, I mean, does anybody really remember, you know, the non-conference schedule? Or does anybody remember a loss if a team still makes the playoffs? No, you don't. You know, strength of schedule, that's just people beating their chest. Strength of schedule has no implications in terms of which is a better team. Okay, if you take all the strength of schedules out there, every single one you can find, you name the algorithm, and I'll guarantee you, if you took a coin in your hand and flipped it for the winner of the bowl game and use strength of schedule rankings at the end of the season, you're going to come out with about the same number. It's 50-50. Strength of schedule is one thing and one thing only. It's a beauty contest. And maybe it is the difference between getting in the playoffs or not in the end, but history tells us trying to schedule tougher is a fool's errand than scheduling easier.
So if you're consulting at Oregon or Oregon State and you see them add Michigan State or Ohio State or Auburn, do you go, hey, what are you doing? Do what Washington State's doing. Oregon, look, Texas A&M backed out, but it's a gift to you. You're going to start 3-0 and you're going to be healthy. I mean, is that the mindset you take?
That's the mindset I take. There was one of the first calls, humble brag, I guess, here, story. And this was kind of a fun one, though, is I was on spring break out in eastern Washington coming back from the store because I ran out of limes for gin and tonics, and it was like 9 in the morning. And where my mom and dad live, there's no cell service down in the hole. But if you walk across over the river and go to the store to get limes for your gin and tonics, boom, you get cell service. And I'm walking back. I still remember this clear as day. My phone rings. I look down. I look at the area code. I'm like, huh. Well, who knows what they – I always answer the phone because you don't know when it's a coach. You know, I've had guys like Sumlin call me at midnight asking questions. So you always pick up the phone. I pick the phone up, and he goes, hey, Dave, it's Michael. You got a minute to talk about scheduling? Yeah, but I don't even know who you are, Michael. And he doesn't even let me – I say, yeah, and bang, conference call, speakerphone. The entire staff of an elite program is around a table. They introduce themselves. The athletic director introduces themselves. And they're arguing over scheduling a home-and-home with LSU. And the coach's point was, you know, we don't want to schedule tough because it's going to hurt us. Well, they won, and they did not schedule LSU in a home-and-home. And the year they were supposed to play LSU, on the road at LSU, they went 9-3 and finished in the top 25. They go on the road. They likely lose that game. They finish 8-4, and it's a totally different perception. Nobody remembers who they beat or who they lost to in that 9-3 season, but they do remember the brand being in the top 25. And to me, that's a critical part of it and why I always recommend a schedule down, even though the fans, and I don't blame them because it costs a lot of money to go to these games, want tougher and tougher games. But if you want your brand to be built, you build brand on winning a bunch of games against, well, largely crappy opponents. Look at Boise State. I mean, they don't play really anybody, but it's a brand you recognize. Why? 10, 11, 12 wins year after year after year.
Such a good point. And I look at the contracts when they come out and I say, okay, why are they paying for this game? And maybe it's rooted in, hey, we need to sell season tickets. Maybe it's rooted in, hey, we want to have an attractive television package and, you know, we're helping our conference schedule. I don't get it. And I've looked at Oregon and I go, you know what? This season, they're relevant right now because everybody knows they're going to be ranked 3-0 and who knows how good they are after 3 weeks.
Oh, they are relevant because of Leavitt and what he did last year and his track record and Justin Herbert. That is it. And this schedule, Duck fans, I don't mean to just get your hopes up or anything like that or rub anybody's face in it, but there are three teams in all of college football, three, that when you factor in their talent level and who they're playing and where they're playing those teams, there are three teams with 12-0 schedules. One of them is Ohio State. One of them's Texas. The other one's Oregon. The easiest schedule they've had this century, and the opportunity is there. Will they seize it? I don't know. Is it a little bit bad luck that they've had three coaches in 3 years and a Brady Hoke hangover and all these other things? Yeah, it's really bad luck there. But the opportunity is there. This team, if it finishes in the top 15 and gets to double digits, it'll be because Jim Leavitt's defense and Justin Herbert stays healthy.
Man with a good handshake, Dave Bartu, the College Football Matrix. I appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. Thank you.
You know, they're easy.
I don't know what he said there, but I think he said I have a great handshake as well. Leave it here. You got the bald face truth. A shutout today. Should I not say that? Is there a code in radio that exists like in baseball?
Well, it is 226. We're not done. You just like, yeah, it's the eighth inning. You just jinxed it.
Yeah, we got a shutout going, and I got a lot to talk about. Dave Bartu is great. Alabama Adriana is furiously podcasting that interview. You can subscribe to the Bald Face Truth radio show on iTunes to make sure that you can get a podcast to the show. Do what 1.2 million people have done since we started podcasting. Listen to the show. So Mike Leach was great earlier. Mike Leach talking handshakes and calling your own plays and why he thinks that a handshake goes into your file. Mario Cristobal was great. I posted the Mario Cristobal interview on Oregon Live during the show. See, I'm multitasking. My brain's just fine right now. And that thing's blowing up. People are digesting what he said about Nick Saban. Nick Saban told him, go get me big guys. So Cristobal continuing to recruit big guys. I have a lot to talk about, but I want to talk about what Bartu just said about scheduling. Tell me, when it comes to scheduling, when it comes to the Oregon Ducks playing one of the softest non-conference schedules, not just this season, but maybe ever. You tell me, does that make sense to you now that what Bartu just said? Look, he's changing my mind. Because I take the role of the fan, right? I take the side of the fan. I go, hey, you're buying season tickets. You're signing on to see all these games, and you're not getting great games. But if Oregon goes 3-0, like, isn't that fun, too, to have your team relevant and bowl-bound and the brand of the franchise to be good? What would you do if you were a college football program? Because Bartu just said strength of schedule does not matter. If you're a Power 5 conference team, it doesn't matter. He even brought up Boise State, which is a group of five. They're not a Power 5 conference team. They just go out and win football games. Let's go out to the phone lines. 503-417-7575 is the number. Tom is in Eugene. He's called in. Tom, thanks for listening.
Yeah, no problem. I enjoy your show. Hey, listen, I just want to disagree. I don't disagree with your last interview, but what I would like to say is football is in its purest form is you play the toughest schedule you can, and I believe that would be a great standard to set for the U of O and for them to maintain and be known for. Similar to Conor McGregor, so I'll make an MMA metaphor here. Conor McGregor has all the glitz, like U of O, Oregon, football, and all that stuff, but he will fight anybody, anytime, and he'll fight people against the advice of those who want to promote his career. And I would love to see Oregon have that same reputation.
Would Oregon be well-suited to play tougher competition, or is it going to accidentally find out this season that these games that it's signing on for with Boise State, Michigan State, it's got Auburn and Ohio State coming up, those games that it's signed on for, are they a fool's errand? 503-417-7575. Because one hand, if I'm a sports fan, I'm really happy that Oregon is scheduling some games that I'm really going to like because as part of my home football season ticket package, I'm getting Ohio State. I'm getting Michigan State. I'm getting a program that's going to play and host Boise State two out of the three occasions. But if I'm a fan that wants my team to go to the playoff, I think there's a lot of logic and a lot of rationale and a lot of sense in scheduling soft. Mike Leach does it at Washington State. Oregon has fallen into it this year. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do for the entertainment value or the competition value, but I think you've got the Ducks winning three non-conference games this year and sitting at a 3-0 record. And if they play well in Pac-12 play, let's just say they get off to a great start and they win the games they should win. You got a game against Washington that's going to be a really important football game in the early part of the season. And you're going to have a lot of people going, these are the two of the best teams in the Pac-12. And I don't know if Oregon's going to be two of the best, but let's just say they beat Washington at home. Now, all of a sudden, you start thinking about them running the table. And that's a team that can make the playoff. Oh, yeah, I'm sounding like a homer right now. I must have hit my head. My subconscious is going, what are you talking about? Undefeated. Am I the first person to say Oregon could go undefeated? No, yeah. Bartu just said it earlier.
Yeah, but I didn't think I'd hear it coming out of your mouth.
I did pick Oregon to go 12-0 once, and everyone said, oh, you're setting them up for failure. And I was like, how do you turn that into a negative? They went 11-1. Didn't go 12-0 that year. Mariota won the Heisman. You tell me at 503-417-7575, where do you stand on the issue of scheduling tough? We're going to talk about the Portland Diamond Project as well coming up. Should they have to tell you where their money's coming from, or because they're a private entity building a stadium not asking for public dollars, is it none of your business?
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.